It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, and since it's Friday night, we thought we would bring a new segment to you. We're going to start this fall. It's a week in review, covering the week that was here in Chicago in a fun way. I mean, we're not just going to talk about the stories that were here. We got a couple categories, like what's the most important story of the week, winners, losers, what's the best story going viral, and which story from this week will be remembered in 50 years, 100 years, 500 years. We start tonight our inaugural voyage together here on The Download with Mario Smith. Mario Smith, a regular contributor here to The Download. He's on once a month or so. He had his show on WHBK in Hyde Park. We'll talk about why that's not a thing anymore, yeah. But he's also behind the podcast, The Clock is the Enemy. Mm-hmm. Good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm wonderful, man. It's good to be here. Always good. I'm in a different seat, so this is weird, but I love being downtown.
Well, that's because we moved you one over to let Amara Enya in to the conversation. Amara, good to see you. She's also a regular here on The Download. She's a former candidate for mayor of Chicago, and she also is a contributor to the book Chicago's Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. Amara, good to see you.
Good to be
Thanks
back.
Thanks for being here. All right, so let's get right to it. Why don't we start? We'll start with you, Amara. What's the most important story of this week?
I think the most important story for me as of today is the story of the two Simones.
Hey.
It is the Olympic story, Simone Biles and Simone Manuel, who are dominating in their fields,
right,
dominating in gymnastics, mm-hmm. and dominating in swimming. That is the hugest story. It has been such an inspirational experience for me watching it. And I kind of joke around because I am an avid swimmer. And so hearing the stereotypes about black women or black people swimming in general, and then seeing Simone Manuel, who broke the record and is really not as well shattering the stereotype, but also proving that these sports, they're not off limits. Like the lack of participation in the sport is not because of a lack of ability. It is often because of the lack, the structural or systemic barriers that have prevented, especially African Americans, from taking part in that sport.
And I don't want to offend a lot of people in Chicago, but it's a North Shore sport.
Absolutely.
You know, to be a swimmer. I mean, Northwestern University has a tremendous complex. That's where we're really going to do that, you know, get into swimming. But, yeah, and I would also say probably the best Olympic run to have watched, because, you know, every time a swimmer finishes, they look up and they get excited, and there's that confidence because you rarely get these upsets.
Yes.
And to watch Simone kind of not really know. She's and I read that she, like, I guess when you touch
the end,
it blinks a light if you medal.
Does.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she saw that and she's like, I can't believe it. I medaled. And she looked up and it said first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It was one of the most genuine reactions to anything in the history of sports, I think. And the fact that she really was not, they didn't even feature her in any of the segments during her race. They talked about the Australian swimmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she just knocks him out, man. That was big.
It seems like every time a story like this comes along, there will be the next day response on Twitter where some media organization messes up.
Of course.
You know, and you saw it a little bit where it was, I think the headline in the Mercury Sun in San Jose was Michael Phelps shares glory with African American or something like that.
Right.
They didn't even name her.
It was just weird.
It was weird, but it seems like there's, you know, like this Olympics more than ever, because of the I guess maybe the issues so highlighted and showcased around race, you're seeing a lot of, international news kind of putting foot in mouth when it comes to figuring out how to cover these Olympics.
I had a conversation this morning with a friend of mine, and I said, you know, because she was really upset about that. And I was like, why are you so angry? She's like, because they always have to do African American. I'm saying, well, you have to understand that right now, white people don't really know how to talk. Hear me out. And I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. What I'm saying is there's so much going on. There are a lot of eggshells on our collective ground in America right now. White folks don't really know how to say something without it turning into something else, or going viral, if you will. So the headline should have been Simone wins.
Right.
Michael Phelps also won, but he's got 13 pounds of medals. I think he could have took a backseat willingly. He literally has 13 pounds of gold medals.
Well, I've noticed it. I mean, it's not just race. I mean, there's been a lot around sexism as well.
Oh,
it seems to be the second prevailing notion of the Olympics.
Yeah, it's been covered, I think, more in these Olympics than any Olympics that I've watched in previous rounds. And again, it's coming down to the comments from the commentators. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of remarks about, there's one in particular that I can recall that was referencing a woman's success was due to her husband. Now, granted, yes, yeah, you know, there's a partnership the swimmers, right? And yeah. all of that. But would they ever have said that if it were, for example, if it was Michael Phelps and he had a wife, and would they have attributed his success to her? So you see a lot of those mm-hmm. comments. And I think it's part of it is learning how to talk about these issues. And so now we're kind of forced to directly engage it. And so there's some mistakes and some gaffes that are made along the way.
Yeah. And also, what was it? Dan Hicks said that Simone Biles'
adoptive parents
weren't her parents. Yeah. He immediately just shot that down.
You know, they bring these announcers out every 4 years. Right. They just hit the dust it off.
Yeah, yeah, a little rusty.
What do you say is the most important story of the week, Mario?
The most important story of the week is Governor Rauner signing the most ridiculous bill in the history of legislation. Learn how to talk to the police when you get pulled over by the police bill for young people who are learning how to drive. You've got to really be a special kind of sick in your head to, one, draft this legislation, and then as the governor, to read it and go, you know, this is great.
Well,
this is
perfect. I will say, and I don't know if that's how it played out, but I mean, there has been a lot of rhetoric around the idea of how people interact with the police. And because of that, some factions will say that's why we're seeing an uptick in police violence, because of the fact that there's the interaction between police and the driver has decayed.
I could see that, but there are so many instances where there was no justifiable reason for example, and I can go back even last year with Sandra Bland and the instances where individuals are running away from police. Yes, if they're running away, that common sense would say you don't shoot someone in the back, right? So you can argue that if you talk a certain way or if you act a certain way, that will prevent you from having a volatile interaction with a police officer. But there are enough incidences that have occurred that show that even when you do things by the book or do things perfectly, as in the case of Philando Castile mm-hmm. in Minnesota, that won't protect you.
That case is the one that I always will point to in this conversation, because what came out after the fact is that he was pulled over 40, 50, 60 times. I forgot
Precisely.
The number.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I think the decorum that's being laid out in a bill that the governor wants to make a law, you know, after 50 times of being pulled over for reasons that have never really been said, you know, the sort of hands on the wheel, what did I do, officer, gets a little shorter. It gets
exactly.
You get a little bit more heated. So this is much bigger issue than how you talk to police.
It would Definitely. Have been nice if the governor would have took that bill and turned around and said, let me add to it the retraining of all police in the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. Or how about let's teach the police how to act when they talk to citizens, as opposed to bang, bang, bang,
putting
stop.
All, yeah, putting all the onus
on a citizen. Citizens. Look, when you live in a state that's really a police state, and then you're going to ask a teenager, this is how you act. That's insane.
All right, let's keep going. Winner of the week. Who do you think is the winner this week? You're going to go.
I'm
going to
be
exactly
repetitive.
Where you're gonna go.
Yeah, look, the Simones are the winners of the week. They take it all. Simone Biles, Simone Manuel. They won literally, figuratively.
I got one.
They won the country. They won the hearts of the country along with the medals that they took home.
The winner of the week is the green water in Rio.
Oh.
What in the world? Really, for real?
There,
how do you? Here's the thing. I am so glad that the Olympics did not come to Chicago. The King Drive corridor would be gone. Washington Park would look incredibly different. All of it. You think it's raining and stopping people from being out? Wouldn't stop a person. It'd be people everywhere. I'm glad that didn't happen. The problem is, in Rio, the favelas have been raided. They've basically displaced everybody. And then when they're gone in a week, Rio's going to be a gigantic mess.
Well, that was what my winner would be, Chicago, the city of Chicago, in the sense that we are seeing how it's playing out in Rio in 2016, to flashback from whatever it was 8 years ago when this all went down. The only thing I remember is when I was first watching it with the opening ceremonies and then the first couple days and all the sweeping shots of the city of Rio and everything.
Place.
I was just like, oh man, this would be really good for Chicago. There'd be a ton of Chicago stuff. There'd be a lot of deep dish pizza on display.
Oh my God. I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Well, you know, It's actually kind of frightening to think about what would have happened, because even in the estimates, and I worked in City Hall at the time when the Olympic bid was front and center, and the underestimated cost of the Olympics that was put forth, I mean, severely underestimated. And there's also an article that came out earlier this week that showed sort of the Olympics past. It was these structures that are abandoned, that are overgrown in different countries that have previously hosted the Olympics, and now they're no longer used. It looks almost, there's an eerie look to them. And
Beijing,
imagine,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine what that would have been here.
It would have been a mess. They should create a place called Olympic Land and let them have the Olympics there every 4 years.
Sounds like a Simpsons episode.
Exactly.
All right, real quick, losers then. If the winners are, we just mentioned Simone and Chicago and the green pool, who are the losers?
My loser of this week and every week until this is over with is Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Come on, man. Look, you said this week, and which is, you invoked the Second Amendment to suggest that people should try to take out a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you turn around, well, they don't get my jokes. Dude, it's time. Yeah. And why, I have to ask, and it's a serious question now, why hasn't someone said this isn't it? This can't work. You have to recuse yourself.
It feels like there have been points along the way that they want him to do that, and he's in control of his own campaign.
If I was running for president and I suggested that the president of the United States could possibly be the head of a terrorist organization, I'd get arrested.
And he didn't say possibly. He said he was.
For a fact, I know it. He is, for a fact.
Trust me.
Bigly.
He said he was being sarcastic.
Trust me, Lee.
I think what happens is once he is presented with the sort of repercussions of what he says, then he goes, come on, I'm just joking.
Hey, I'm kidding around.
He just backtracks. Yeah. But that disingenuous tone has really been a hallmark of his campaign, because you had surrogates who came out and justified or attempted to justify his statements, to cast his statements in a more positive light. And I think that level of being disingenuous is what has allowed his campaign to continue as it has.
Amara, what do you got for loser of the week?
I would go with Trump, but he's just a loser across the board. So, I mean, I don't feel that I need to justify that. But I would say another loser in the sense that we lost out is the state of Illinois. The governor vetoed the automatic voter registration bill that came across his desk. This is a bill that had significant support, bipartisan support, that has been pushed aggressively and exposes and allows more people to take part in the democratic process. I'm not sure why he vetoed it or what his justification is, but the state of Illinois loses because of the governor.
It's definitely being pushed by progressives in the state of Illinois, but it does have the idea that you automatically get voted. And there has always been this distinction or strange, I don't know if it's a stereotype of Republicans not wanting people to register to vote because that can help them at the polls. And so you do scratch your head a little bit on why the governor would stand in the way of this if not for his political affiliation. Yeah. Mario Smith and Mara Enya in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what was the best Trump gaffe, what was the best story going viral, and what story will be remembered in 50, 100, 150, 500 years from now. It's a download. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. 312-981-7200. If you want to play along with the week that was, the week in review, what do you think the most important story of the week is? The winner, the loser? What's the best story going viral? If you want to join the conversation, 312-981-7200. You can text us as well. In studio, Amara Enya, former candidate for mayor of Chicago and also a contributor to the book Chicago's Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. And Mario Smith's in studio, and I always want to say news from the service entrance, but that is over. What happened?
It's not over.
Here we go again.
No, the show isn't over. I'm actually meeting with somebody next week. You know, I love Chirp.
Yeah.
Oh, Pete's gone. I love Chirp. Chirp is the best. I'm meeting with someone next week, and hopefully, hopefully I'll have an announcement in a week or two. I'm looking to come back with the show in September.
You had a long run there.
15 years. Amara's been a guest several times.
I certainly
on the show.
Have.
Here's the thing, real quick. Unless these bed bugs that the University of Chicago purports to be there are as big as the bugs in Starship Troopers, there's no reason. They shut the radio station off for 2 weeks.
To eradicate
bed bugs.
Why are the bed bugs up in the studio?
And then they wanted the DJ. Ooh, I am not going to get in trouble for this. They wanted the DJs from the radio station to pay for an exterminator to come into their homes to prove that they don't have bed bugs before you can come back into the radio station. And I just thought about it, and I waited, and it took like 10 seconds. I said, I quit. there's no way in hell I'm doing that.
Well.
And to add insult to injury, the 15 years that I spent there, they have pulled 2 incidents within 6 months to make people feel stupid. And I just can't be a part of it anymore.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm
glad.
Hey,
but you know what? If you ever need like a guest host,
yeah, there you go.
I've got radio experience.
All right, you do.
I can do it.
Unfortunately, it's Friday. The guest host time is like right now, and I have no cloud at the station, and I am here while others are.
I've got chloroform napkins in my bag.
All right, let's keep going. We've got the we did the most important story: winners and losers. Let's go to this fun question: which Trump gaffe do you think was the biggest this week? We already know there's going to be gaffes per week, you know, and it's started to become a norm. But which do you think was the biggest?
I think the founder of ISIS comment was the biggest gaffe. I mean, it had to be the biggest gaffe. And he doubled down on it when he was asked, at least in the initial stages after he made the comments. And that was what was, I mean, he doubled down on the absurdity. And he didn't say, I mean, he said President Obama is the founder of ISIS.
And that Hillary language Clinton is just,
and Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Because of their involvement, because they of their role in the administration.
Right.
And the fact, again, that you have your surrogates. I mean, these are his campaign surrogates who will go out and try to justify and rationalize his comments is what makes it even worse.
It's weird because you're like, I get what he's trying to say. And you kind of go, okay, you're pointing towards the foreign policies of your political rivals. I understand
right.
that. And then it's almost like, I don't know if he thinks that we don't get it. And he goes one step further, and we're like, no, we understand what you're saying. And
he
doubles down on it.
Far.
And it goes too far.
Yeah.
And then he has to backtrack and say, and then have to go back to the point where we already got it. It's actually bad stand-up comedy.
He thinks people, it's the worst kind of stand-up comedy.
As someone who's done it, that's the issue.
He thinks that everybody is unlearned and doesn't read and has absolutely no idea what the hell's going on in the world. Not to mention, he also said that Obama is the reason for NAFTA, when that's Bill Clinton.
What do you say is the biggest gaffe?
Oh, without question, the president of the free world who
really?
Wears mom jeans is the leader of ISIS.
I don't know. I get it. I get we move so fast. And it's amazing to think it's only really been a week and a couple of days since the Captain Khan stuff and the Khan family.
Oh,
it's only a week and a half.
Yeah.
Right.
The one that I thought was really, really troubling was the one where he sort of threw out that Second Amendment thing with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, that was this week.
See, yeah.
That was the early part of this week.
Yeah.
Here's the big problem with that. There are people who will take that literally and walk right outside their house prepared to kill Hillary Clinton.
Now, I don't know if it's that. I think more it's about the decorum of a political.
It is just unfit
candidacy.
For anyone in any kind of leadership position. Even if you're a non-leadership position, it is not the kind of rhetoric that you use. But to be positioning yourself to be the president of the United States and to use that kind of language, it's not funny. They were trying to say, oh, it was sarcasm or whatever. However they justified.
Right. Same thing.
But it's not. It's just simply not the rhetoric that you use in any kind of leadership.
And again, you mentioned it before. The surrogates and the pundits go out to somehow justify this. And they throw out the statement, throws out things, the campaign puts out statements, and it makes it worse.
But you know what, Dr. Anya and Justin, just to be fair, what is Trump the leader of? A meat house? He's the dean of a university that failed? What? He's a landlord?
Right.
What is he leading, really? He's not a leader. And this goes back to the whole thing with him even suggesting and people actually buying into him running for president of the United States. I think Barack Obama said something maybe a week ago now, where he said, you know, I didn't agree with Mitt Romney and John McCain, but I never questioned their ability to be the president of the United States. Why are you all still supporting him? He is like Ernest T. Bass. Ernest T. Bass will throw a brick through a window on Channel 9 every week. Every week. And people will still be like, he's the best. No, he's not. He's a menace.
Yeah.
Why do you have a menace in position to be the man with the codes?
I guess from my point of view, I always feel like I want to give respect to people who run for the highest office in the land, and I just wish that they would give it back.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because you can go all the way, like you just said, I agree with you, Mario, but I feel like I withhold some of that criticism to say I want to hear what you have to say to lead our country, but I don't feel like that's reciprocated,
it's
and I feel
not.
Like our intelligence is being insulted.
Yes, we are. It is insulting. It's offensive because this isn't a joke. This isn't just something that people's lives will be affected, and this country will be affected. And right now, other countries are already looking at what the United States is doing. We're already sending a very strong message by virtue of the fact that we have someone like Trump that's even in the running. That's sending a strong message that has implications with our standing on the global scale. So we need to think about how serious this really is.
I strongly recommend every human being within listening range that's a registered voter vote in your local elections. Vote for Congress is up. Every seat is available. This is even if Trump does win, which he won't. Even if Trump does win by virtue of those Starship Trooper bedbugs at WHUK, even if he does win, you can change the face of Congress for many years to come. And that is extremely important. As you have seen over the last 8 years, the legislatures legislate.
Mario Smith and Mara Enya, 312-981-7200. We got some people on the line, Steve, Tom, some others. Stay with us. We'll take a quick break. We've got an update on tonight's news. We'll continue the conversation coming up after 8 o'clock. We still have to get to what was the best story going viral on social media, and also which story from this week will be remembered in 50, 100, 500 years. Sound good? Stay with us. Thank you, Susan. It's the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up here in just a moment, Yoko Noge is going to be here. Yoko Noge, she is a blues jazz musician here in Chicago. She's playing at the Ginza Festival in Old Town this weekend. She's going to perform live for us. I'm so excited to talk to her. Right now, we're wrapping up the week in review. Mario Smith, Amara Enya in studio. And before we move on to the last remaining categories, let's get some of the listeners involved. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on the air. What do you think? What do you think is the which one do you want to relate to?
Well, here, let me tell you something. First of all, I'm not much of a political person, but it's pretty obvious this guy got in this thing. He didn't get in it to win. He had no clue it was going to go this far, and now he's trying to figure out ways to get himself out of it. Yeah. And the bottom line is, it doesn't really matter because they're both pathetic.
Hey, Steve, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What do you think, or how do you think it's going to end with Donald Trump and this candidacy? Is it him saying, I quit? Is it them making him leave? What do you think?
He's not going to quit. She's going to win. I mean, she's going to win, okay? I mean, what's he going to do? Go get Dennis Rodman to talk to the guy in North Korea? I mean, what's he going to do?
My man, Steve.
I mean, really. And by the way, the thing that people are going to remember 500 years from today is this Cub team.
There you go, Steve.
Joe, how good this team is.
There you go. That's a great point. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right, Steve.
Take care. All right, let's go to Tom. Tom, what do you think is the story of the week?
Well, the story of the week is the hypocrisy of the media and the double standard. No one got outraged when Hillary Clinton on numerous occasions called Donald Trump the number one recruiter for ISIS. Do you really think she was thinking that Donald Trump was recruiting?
Yeah, maybe you're right there.
Big recruiter? No, she was driving home a point. Just like Donald Trump was driving a point when he said Obama and Clinton were the founders of ISIS. But no one was outraged.
Yeah, Tom, hold on, let me talk for a second. Just, I think that the difference is, I don't think that the media would have a problem with him saying that if he didn't continually say that that's what he meant. He actually said at one point, literally. And I think that's where the media just kind of shrugs their hands.
But no one even challenged Clinton. But the media never said, Clinton, you keep on calling Donald Trump the number one recruiter for ISIS. Do you really think Donald Trump is recruiting for ISIS and wants to get ISIS bigger and bigger? No one even challenged her on that.
Right.
The media doesn't challenge on the other end, on the opposite side. They won't
thanks, Tom. Thanks for that. I would beg to differ only in the sense that Hillary Clinton is dealing with an email gate that won't go away, and the media loves to talk about it.
But
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Tom, for that.
No emails.
Let's see. I've got a lot of great stuff coming in from Texters. 708, the biggest loser is Hillary Clinton, cheating, lying, blood on her hands, enabler of an old reprobate is a loser. Let me see. Nice. You pick on Trump.
I can't disagree.
But you like her. She's a commie and a pothead.
A commie pothead. Combo platter.
708 says, I don't think that the ISIS stuff is a gaffe. We got it. Everyone complained about it. Therefore, we support it. I don't know about that. And there's some more stuff here. Another one, 312, made a good point saying one of the big stories of the week that hasn't been talked about is the lack of an IRS audit, or why the audit is standing in the way of Donald Trump releasing his tax returns as Hillary Clinton did so today. Yeah. All right, so we got a lot of political stuff. Let's move on from politics unless it shows up in the most viral story on social media. Why don't you start with you, Mario? What are you seeing on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and other places that is grabbing your attention?
Mine was Gabby Douglas not putting her hand over her heart during the pledge when they won the gold medal, when in actuality... not the pledge, I'm sorry, the Star Spangled Banner. Yeah, she can't catch a break.
Really, her hair, she gets it every which way.
But the proper protocol when the national anthem is being played, you don't have to put your hand over your heart. Right. You just have to stand at attention. Right. That's actually the protocol.
Yeah, she wasn't, I don't think, I mean, just looking at the video and the picture, I mean, she wasn't pulling a...
No.
Was the kid from Denver, the Nuggets?
The Muslim man. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Who wouldn't stand up and sit behind. Yeah. That's different.
That's different. Exactly. That was an intentional act of protest. Whereas with Gabby Douglas, it was almost like she was just standing there. She was doing what she was supposed to do, which is the Star Spangled Banner is playing and she's listening. Right. I do wonder why there is so much scrutiny. It's almost like people are just looking for something, anything to criticize and critique Gabby Douglas, even
anybody,
Simone Biles, any of these individuals,
I
even to make up a story that did go viral.
It is interesting, too. And you know, you wonder about it because there have been sort of, I would say, I wouldn't know if it was controversial acts by some other Olympians. I think it was, is it Lily King did the finger wag to the Russian, even Michael Phelps with his face. And those are celebrated almost positive. And you see some
but
things
with Douglas, who has represented this country on the world stage phenomenally, both in the last Olympics and this Olympics. Yeah. And the only thing that has gone viral with regard to her is whether she's not patriotic, she is bringing home gold medals for this country.
All right, Amara, what do you got for a social media story?
Well, that was actually the one that I saw the most this week. I mean, I actually did not even read the article. I didn't read anything about it because, again, in my mind, I was just off put by the whole concept of you have Gabby Douglas, this woman who has done more in terms of patriotism for this country with her phenomenal performances in the Olympics, both last time and this time. And we're talking about whether or not she put her hand over her heart in the Star Spangled Banner, questioning her patriotism. I don't even have the energy to engage or read any of that, but I noticed it so much.
Let me throw out what I saw this week, and it kind of confused me. I felt like I wasn't sure what I was reading, and that was uproar. Or I guess consternation around the Bud Billiken parade.
See, you're trying to get me in trouble with all the black people again.
I don't know enough about the organization of it, but there have been stories that have been popping up in the last couple of days about the black community being upset with the organizers of the Bud Billiken parade. What's that about?
I think a lot of it stems around the fact that a lot of people view the parade as being kind of organized, not as thorough as they could be, particularly with the issue of black people being hunted down by the police.
Just to give backstory, it is a African American centered parade,
back
to school,
years.
87 years old, back to school parade to get the kids all excited about back to school.
And one of the issues was, I can never remember the brother's last name, Jamal Green wanted to have a delegation in the parade, and the Bud Billiken parade organizer said no, and part of his delegation was protesting police brutality. And I feel like he feels with an issue like that in a parade that is a black-centered parade that is supposed to be a back-to-school parade talking about education, what better platform to educate people than that?
Yeah, I play devil's advocate.
Of course
you
can.
If you were the organizer of the parade, why would you want to celebrate protest? Wouldn't you rather have bands and, hey, we're all sort of celebrating the positive?
That's what they're doing, though. I think it's valuable to be able to show that there's an issue that is directly affecting black people, not kind of, not around the corner. It's right there in everybody's face, where you can have that on that platform during the primetime portion of that parade, so everybody can see that this is an issue that we feel needs to be addressed. And by it not being addressed in that parade, it's kind of disingenuous. And going back to what I said a year ago, it might be a good idea just to rethink what really is important. The idea that Marjorie Jordan had years ago was to get kids ready to go back to school and get them prepared to be in class in a few weeks from the parade. And now it's kind of gotten It's turned into who's going to be there, which politician is walking, who's waving at who. It's lost a lot of its luster to me.
I think that without understanding the logistics behind and some of the infrastructure of the organizers, it's hard for me to really make a judgment about the merits of even if one person or his delegation, Green's delegation, did not get into the parade. Is that solely because of the content or was it a logistical thing? Did they get their application in on time?
Was it
made clear that these are the parameters for if you want to participate in the parade? This also goes to the South Shore drill team. Was it made clear in advance that there is a 100-person limit so that they would have to make those difficult decisions about which kids could participate earlier on in the year? To me, it all seemed very last minute. I didn't find out until 2 days ago, all of a sudden there's this chaos around the Bud Billiken parade and these changes that are made.
That's a bummer. The South Shore drill team has been a big part of the parade. They're not in it this year.
For them to not be in that parade is kind of like, you know, the...
You take the headliner out.
Right. It's kind of weird. Yeah. And I think also, just to educate your listeners in Bannockburn, Bud Billiken's a fictional character. There is no one named Bud Billiken. There are no Billikens walking around Halsted. There are no Billikens.
Okay. All right. So final, let's wrap this up. Our final category tonight is which story from this week will be remembered in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, 500 years? What is the historic story of the week?
Come on, man. Pick a Simone. Nina Simone. Simone. Pick one. It's the Simones.
Yeah.
I think not just for the idea of their Olympic accomplishment, I think they really did. First of all, the young lady gymnast, Simone Biles, she's doing moves that human beings are not shaped to do. And there's a really interesting tutorial. I can't remember which newspaper from the UK did it.
Yeah, they showed all the moves.
They show every move. That's awesome. Man, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's a human spirit kind of story, right? But then you've got this other aspect of it that is just beautiful, which is the idea that there are children, black children, white children, but children watching that going, that's what I want to do. Yeah. I want to be a gymnast. I want to swim. I want to do all these things because I see these women doing it. I want to do that. I want to be good at it. I want to excel. I want to be better than her. I think that for me, although I didn't really do the Olympics like I normally do, they've been more background noise than anything. I think that is encouraging. I really feel good about that whole story.
And Amara, of course, you feel the same way, right?
I feel 100% the same way. I mean, the historical significance of what they've accomplished. Simone Biles will go down in history as one of the best gymnasts of all time.
If not the best.
At least thus far, because they're on celebrating on the shoulders of the Dominique Dawes of the world and so on and so forth. So historically significant, this will go down for years to come.
All right, this was fun.
Hey.
The first one, I appreciate it.
You know, if you invite us back.
You guys are both, you've passed the test, Mario. You can come back.
Thank you.
It was a year-long audition. Mario Smith's podcast, The Clock is the Enemy.
That's how it goes.
It's a live taping.
At the Promontory. Yeah, man.
And also, Mara Enya is a former mayoral candidate who is a contributor to the Chicago's Not Broke, funding the city we deserve. Mario, thanks for joining me tonight.
Peace, everybody. You.